Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder that tonight, from 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock, we have a watch night service. And if you want to sing some more great songs at Christmas, great Christmas carols, and hear a message of God's love for us, then come along tonight between 11 and 12. And so we're continuing our theme on invitation at Christmas time, and we'd like us to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Luke 1, 26 to 38. And it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Amen and may God bless the reading of his word. We're continuing our theme on invitation at Christmas. And I want to bring a message today entitled, An Invitation to Journey with Jesus. And looking at the character of Mary, I've looked at the character of Mary down through the years many, many times. When it's your 34th Christmas of preaching a message and several messages, you're a bit of a challenge. And so you're bound to say some things that have been said before, as well as some things that are new. And so this is an invitation to journey with Jesus, because I see that in Mary. Mary is a very important Bible character. And she, of course, the mother of Jesus, and was the only person present at his birth and his death. So there's some quite remarkable things about Mary. And she's overrated in some parts of the church and underrated in often in others. I once interviewed a couple of guys. I was doing my dissertation for a master's degree and looking at the work of the Spirit in Scotland in the last 100 years. And I met with a couple of guys from another tradition, and I said, tell me about the place of Mary in your tradition. And they said, well, it's a bit like this. It says, when you're young and you ask your father for something and he doesn't give you it, he says, well, you ask your mother and she does. And so he says, it's a bit like that. I says, so I just want to tell you all today, you can ask your father, right? Because he's okay. He invites us to come to him. He says, come boldly at the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So I find my Heavenly Father very, very approachable. Nevertheless, Mary has a lot to teach us. And I want to say, first of all, she's an unlikely person in an unlikely place. This is Gabriel, the angel's second mission to earth. And he sent Gabriel, the archangel, once before to Zechariah and Elizabeth to tell them they were going to have a son. And Elizabeth's now 6 months pregnant. And the great story, it's a great story and a great study. God keeps his promises. And angels are also very interesting characters. I believe in angels. The Bible believes in angels. The Bible tells us that angels are there to help us, minister in spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation, it says in Hebrews 1 and 14. And as with the existence of God himself, the Bible doesn't go out to prove the existence of angels. It just assumes the existence of angels. And the authors of Scripture and the people that we encounter in Scripture, while they might have been surprised by the visit of an angel, were never ever surprised by the fact that angels existed. In fact, in Hebrews, it tells us in Hebrews 13:2 that we may even entertain angels like humans unaware. They walk among us at times. So be careful who you entertain and what you do when you do it. And so this angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And from the very fact that the narrator Luke has to tell us where Nazareth is, shows us that this letter was written and this information is for wider than the Jewish community. It's not Jerusalem, it's Nazareth. And remember when Jesus met Nathanael, the question was asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because the people in Jerusalem and the Jewish Orthodox people actually looked down on the people who came from Galilee because of their contact with the Gentiles there. And this angel is sent to a young woman called Gabriel. And it's interesting to see all the different types of... A woman called Mary. It's interesting to see how the Bible portrays the fact that God uses all different kinds of people, young and old, not sent to a celebrity, but sent to a young virgin woman in the backwoods of Nazareth. Mary's a young virgin, and the fact that she was pure actually happened before she was she was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and also during her pregnancy. And so it's a miracle. And she's pledged to be married to a man called Joseph. And in those days, this pledge or betrothal was a legally binding agreement, and it could only be broken by divorce. That's why it says that Joseph had in mind to divorce her quietly. So it was a legally binding agreement. And she's probably only in her teens. And the fact that God uses Mary, and the fact that God does this remarkable thing for Mary, shows me that God uses all kinds of people from all kinds of backgrounds, particularly young people as well as old people. And in our church, we thank God for the young people we have in our church. I want to say that you're really important. And for many, many years, our young people are diverse. Often in the things that they did, they would quote 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, which says, "Do not let anyone despise you because you're young or look down on you because you're young." But it goes on to speak about being an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So this announcement, first of all, is to an unlikely person in an unlikely place, and yet an angel is sent to her. And secondly, the thing that we see here, it's an unlikely and unexpected invitation. She was not expecting this to happen at all. And she was startled and troubled by the angel appearing and speaking these things to her. She's wondering what kind of greeting this is. What's about to happen to her? And, you know, sometimes God surprises us with things that we don't expect to happen. There was one night when I was about 25 years old, I was going home from my work, and I was passing by the Broad Gate, Broad Street in Fraserburgh, and there was a lady there waiting for transport, and she was had bags full of messages, and I recognized her. She was a lady from the church in Fraserburgh. Her name was Mrs. Wiley, and she was a lovely lady. Mrs. Wiley had a very interesting story, interesting background. Mrs. Wiley's husband was a lighthouse keeper, and she became a Christian by seeing a vision of Jesus on the lighthouse. And so it changed her whole life completely. And Mrs. Wiley was a great asset in the church. She was a great blessing. And in the prayer meetings, I used to love the way she prayed. She prayed as if she actually believed that God was real and would do great things. And she prayed very devotionally. And Mrs. Wiley said to me, she was going out of the car. She says, "Have you ever considered going to Bible college?" The next day, Diane and I were going to get engaged to be married. I mean, I wasn't considering Bible college at all. I was considering getting married to my beautiful girlfriend. That's what we were thinking about. So we were going to get engaged the next day. And so this was the furthest thing from my mind. And Mrs. Wiley says, she says, "I believe that God's calls in your life. She says, I've got an insurance policy maturing. And she says, I'm actually willing to help you. I mean, that's remarkable. That's what you call putting your money where your mouth is. We didn't actually need that money. It was actually some time later before I went to Bible college, 5 years later. And by that time, Mrs. Wiley had moved on. But she planted a seed in our heart at that moment in time. That was the last thing that I expected, and I'm going to come back to that later on. And this angel showed up, and I suppose it was a bit like that, but in a far grander scale. And this angel spoke reassuring words to Mary, saying, do not be afraid, spoke prophetic words over Mary, told her she was going to have a baby, and spoke powerful words over Mary and told her what this baby was going to do. And the contrast between Mary's response to the angel and Zechariah's response to the angel before that is marked. One is to a young person, and the other one to an older person. One's to a person who believes, and the other one is to a person who doesn't believe. And one is to Jerusalem, and the other one is to Nazareth. And the angel says, well, it's actually going to be a work of God. It's going to happen to you. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and he's going to overshadow you. And that's that same word about the glory of God that appeared to the children of Israel and appeared to different people at different times. And this power of God, is God's going to do something amazing in your life. For nothing is impossible with God. And maybe you need to hear that. Maybe you're watching online today, or maybe you're here in this place, and you needed to hear that nothing is impossible with God. It's a wonderful thing that, by the way, are you getting this online? Don't see the red mark. It's all okay. Just might make sure that everything's okay. So here, God does impossible things, amazing things. And still today, you might be needing a miracle, and God can do a miracle in your heart. And so this invitation to Mary is to go on a miraculous journey. And it's going to be a work of the Holy Spirit that's going to do this. And after 400 years, we were singing a few moments ago in Hallowed Manger Ground, a great carol. It speaks about the 400 silent years. And between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's what they call the silent years. When there doesn't seem to be a lot of activity going on. Now, there were things that happened, but our Bible from that time until the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, it's like the silent years. And this invitation is to go on this journey is God's up to something, and he's wanting Mary to be part of it. And I actually believe that God's up to something in Scotland. I think that God is doing something in our nation, and it's beginnings of it, and different things are happening to different people in different places where you see the work of the Holy Spirit, and people are getting saved, and there's a great prayer movement going on in our nation. And next month in the Enshire Grange, God willing, there'll be around 200 leaders from all over Scotland will be praying together in person and fasting and praying together for our nation. And it happened last year, and it happened just prior to COVID, and it happens every 2 months over Zoom. And I believe that's a stirring of something that God is doing in our nation at this moment in time. And so Mary is invited to go on a journey with God, a journey with the God of impossibilities. And the question that I would like to ask you and me today is, are we willing to go on a similar journey with Jesus today? And so there was an unlikely person in an unlikely place. She received an angelic visitation. And an unlikely and unexpected invitation. And an invitation to go on a journey, a miraculous journey with Jesus. And Mary said yes to the invitation. She says, I'm willing. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. And the word she used there for servant is the lowest form of female servant, a handmaid. She was willing to be an instrument that God could use. Are you and I willing to be an instrument that God could use? And there was a great cost to saying that. There was the cost and the pain of pregnancy. She had to go through with actual physical birth. And most of us know that if men had to have babies, they would only ever have one. But the women are able to have a lot more than that. And then the cost of misunderstanding, during Jesus' life, he would be pointed out as being illegitimate. And so there was the cost of that in that society at that particular time. In John 8:41, they said to Jesus, "We're not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God himself." And possibly jeopardizing a relationship with Joseph, because I've already mentioned that Joseph had his mind that he was going to break off this relationship, and he had to have an angel to visit him to change his mind. Risking a family relationship. And you know, when God speaks to us and tells us to do things at times, sometimes it's hard. And we're not always in that place where we say yes, that God wants me to do this. There's times in my life when God's spoken to me. He's wanted me to maybe give or to go to prayer or to tell people about Jesus or whatever. And small things, big things. Are we prepared to do what God wants us to do? Because when we say yes to him, I believe we see the God of miracles doing great things in our life. And this was no emotional response. I've known of many emotional responses down through my years as a church leader. And people in the emotion of something say or do something, and it's an emotional thing, but there's really no substance to it. And God loves our emotions, and he created us with emotions, and they've got a part to play. But there's something about Mary. Mary's prepared to go through with God all the time. And sometimes we're not. We're prepared only sometimes to go part of the way, but she was prepared to go all the way. She says, she was willing to pay that price. I am the Lord's servant. And she understood that. A servant takes orders from her master. And we take that order. Stephen alluded to that during the communion today. May it be to me as you've said. And for Mary to say that, I want to say that what she was doing was greater than even Moses when he was called, because he was full of excuses. And was greater than people like Gideon, who went on to become a great leader because he couldn't understand why God would call him. And greater than people like Jeremiah, who complained that he was too young. Mary was willing to do this. And note what happened. As soon as she said yes, what began for her was a life of miracles. When she said yes to God, great things happened. An angel then appeared to Joseph and said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Diane and I once knew this man. And he was going out with this girl, and he was saying, "God," he says, "do you want me to marry this woman?" And I don't recommend this as a great principle. I believe in systematically reading through the Bible. But he opened his Bible at the passage that we've been looking at today, and it says, and his girlfriend's name was Mary, and he looked at it and says, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife." That was a great word from the Lord for him, wasn't it? Huh? And so it was no emotional response. She said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then as a result of that, God begins to work in Joseph's life. He begins to work in Elizabeth's life, her cousin. And one commentator says in relation to that, one is old, Elizabeth, and has no children. The other is young and has no husband. But both are pregnant, and both are ready to announce the good news to the world. And so she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth. And the moment she crosses over the threshold of her cousin's house, Elizabeth gets filled with the Spirit. When Mary visited her, the baby inside Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. John the Baptist leaps for joy, which shows to me that life is precious, and in the womb that God is capable of touching life even within the womb. And then Elizabeth prophesied and declared about Elizabeth great things, and said that blessed is she who has believed what the Lord said to her will be accomplished. And she responds back, "My soul glorifies the Lord and magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." And so comes this great song, this prophetic song. All these miraculous things are happening. Angels are appearing. Babies are getting touched in the womb. Elizabeth's prophesying. Mary's prophesying. And her song, which we know as the Magnificat, is quite a song. And one commentator says, make no mistake, this is some amazing declaration that Mary's making. In fact, they would reckon and compare Mary's declaration in this song to be as important and as outrageous, in a sense, as Martin Luther's nail in his 95 thesis that started off the wall of the cathedral, that started off the Protestant Reformation. And so It was quite a remarkable thing that she did. And in this song that Mary sings, you can see that her life is saturated with the Old Testament. There's no fewer than 12 Old Testament references. And she understands the things that's been said. So her life, even as a 12-year-old, is saturated in the Bible. I wonder if our 12-year-olds are saturated in exactly the same. And the wonderful thing is that Mary is not telling about the great things that she's done. In this song, she's telling about the great things that God has done. Isn't that not what our life's about as believers? That we would declare the goodness of God and what He's done. It's not to bring attention to ourselves, it's to point to Him. Because He's the one who makes a difference in our lives. And our whole spirit and our whole soul and our whole body is involved in this. And notice that Mary needed a Savior too. Because her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior. And she realizes all the things that God's done. And because she's been compliant with Him, goes on this great, great adventure and brings out this great song. And a commentator that I read recently spoke about if we were to look at this song through the eyes and the vision of Herod the Great, who was on the throne at that particular moment in time, like it would be saying something, because he was a terrible, terrible ruler, and he was after so much money, taxed the people up their hilt, and the people that were poor suffered from it. As said at the first service, there's often nothing changes in life, is there? And then he also was a bit of a despot, and he didn't like people opposing him, and he would put them to death. And so when Mary is saying in her song that God has brought down rulers from their thrones, anyone within earshot would have immediately looked at Herod. And would have thought, that's a remarkable statement she's making at that particular time. And when saying that the rich went away emptied, she would point her finger at Herod the Great as well. And had Mary sung this song more than once, and some postulate that she perhaps did, she certainly knew it and was able to give that information to Luke as he wrote his gospel. If she was to sing it in Nazareth, the people would probably, if they were in a pub, they would hoist a toast and say, "It's about time, bless the Lord and Mary." And so it's quite a remarkable song, and there's lots of things in that song, we didn't read it. But Mary's response to the invitation and subsequent journey can be your experience and my experience. And I believe God's inviting us all on a journey, whether you're watching us online or here in person. God's inviting us all on a journey. And as a young guy, I grew up with a kind of God consciousness. There was times that I would have prayed, but I didn't really know God. I knew about God, but I didn't really know God personally. And I was at the point of becoming an elder in the Church of Scotland that I grew up in a little village called Rose Hart, a fishing village that I spent my secondary school years in. I was at the point of becoming an elder, and I was out for a walk with some of my pals that night, and there was a Church of Scotland summer mission going on in the village. And although it was the point of becoming an elder, to go to church, like, other than a Sunday, you'd have been a fanatic, like, so we'd never have thought in doing that. So walking up the road, but there was this attractive young girls outside. So hand on heart, we didn't go for spiritual reasons. We went for other reasons. And this girl came up to me and started speaking to me, and she said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "I would like to think I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday," and she says, "Going to church every Sunday doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's every day makes you a hamburger." So it was me put in my place. Or going to the garage every day makes you a car. And then we began to talk a little bit, and she said, "Like, let me ask you a question," she says. "If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven?" And I said, "Well, I'd like to think I would." And she said, "Well, you can know. These things are written that you might know you have eternal life." And being the shy person that I was, I went home that night and invited Jesus to come into my life. So I responded to the invitation. I did it privately. But I responded to that invitation, and so started a journey. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I had an experience of the Holy Spirit, and I believe God's got many, many adventures for us in the Holy Spirit. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at a New Year's convention in a nearby village called Cairnbulg. And I'd experienced the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak in tongues in a language that I'd never learned. And so began a journey in spiritual gifts, which is another story for another day. And then I got baptized in water, because the Bible says that we repent and get baptized. And it's a command of Jesus, and Jesus himself went through baptism. So God was speaking to me about getting baptized. And when I told my parents that I wanted to get baptized, they were opposed to me getting baptized. They did not want me to get baptized. And the reason why they didn't want me to get baptized, because they thought I'd already been baptized, because I was sprinkled as a child in the Church of Scotland. And my birth certificate is signed, baptized by me on such and such a date by the minister of the village that I grew up in at that time. So my parents were opposed to me, but Diane came and her parents came, and I went through the waters of baptism. And then that date came when Mrs. Wiley, and the band can come now, when Mrs. Wiley, when I gave her a lift up the road with her messages, and she says, I believe it God's call is on your life to go to Bible college. And so that started a journey for us. And so we were, as I say, about to get engaged the next day to be married, but we talked about it. But we thought, like, that was way off. Like, we weren't planning and doing that. But over the next few years, God began to work and do stuff in our lives, and we would talk about it. And the 11th of January, which is my birthday, and when I was 30 years old, I sat up all night expecting an angel to come and tell me that I go to Bible college, or something supernatural would happen, and nothing happened. And I waited, and nothing happened. I thought, well, God, here I am. You speak to me, show us. But what happened was there was this continual sense that God was drawing us, and he would speak to us through the scriptures and speak to us through the pastor and Fraserburgh and the messages that were being preached. And God was calling us to go on an adventure with him, to leave the Northeast. Dan's parents are here today. It was particularly hard for them. We were the only grandchildren. Dan was their only daughter. And to go 400-odd miles away, it was a big thing. Thank God for them, been a great support to us down through the years. And so we were going to pack up and leave everything at that moment in time and move away on a small grant of £80 a week to go to Bible college and train for the ministry, which has taken us to Larbert and different places in the world. In fact, I said to the first service that for the privilege of preaching in every continent or being in every continent and ministry apart from Antarctica. And God has done great things in my life personally. And I look back over my life and I wouldn't have regretted for a minute making that choice and making a decision to follow Jesus, respond to that invitation. I don't regret it for a minute. And maybe you're sitting here today and your life is filled with regrets. Maybe up to this moment in time, you've never really gone all in with God and he's been speaking to you. Maybe there's something specifically spoken to you about today. And I'll tell you, we want to live lives without regrets. We want to live lives that are for him. And not look back and say, I wasted my life, I wasted my education, I wasted my finances. But to say that God put an investment in my life and I've invested my life into his kingdom. Jesus promised to give us life abundant. In John 10:10, he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant. And so the question I would like to ask us today is, have we responded to his invitation? And is the price that Stephen alluded to in communion that was paid on the cross for us, is it worthy of the life that we're living just now? Are we living for him?
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.